Join with me in the reading of the Word. Beth has kindly put that in our church's bulletin. The three readings this morning, a little different. And I'll read the Old Testament and then the two New Testament readings. Our first reading comes from Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. And this comes from the Old Testament account of the exodus of the Lord's people from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the promised land. And at this point in time, they're in the midst of their wilderness wanderings. And the words or the story that precedes today's reading emphasizes that the people were quite disgruntled. They felt that God had in essence abandoned them and distanced God's self from the Lord's people. And they were most upset and murmuring against Moses and against God. So let's listen now for God's word to us in this account of the response that our gracious God made to a very discontent people of God. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them round about the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was upon him and put it upon the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did so no more. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested upon them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, the son of Nun, the minister of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, forbid them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. Our second reading is the gospel lesson. It comes from the gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. Brief reading of that little interim period between the resurrection of our Lord and today that we celebrate, the day of Pentecost. Jesus visiting with his disciples briefly in their secret room on the very day of that first Easter. And he gives them the Spirit. Listen now for God's word to us in this reading from the gospel lesson. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Now remember, in the gospel according to John, when the word Jews is spoken, it's addressing mostly the religious leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now turn with me to the third scripture reading this morning. The great story is told by Luke in his account given in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. This is the Luke's account of that first day of Pentecost. Today on our church calendar, we celebrate the day of Pentecost. Let's listen now for God's word to us in this reading. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard them, the disciples, speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all these who were speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." May God add his blessings to these readings from God's holy word. Again, let's bow our heads for a brief prayer together. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If we listen closely to our Bible lessons for today, we can hear the good news that God has given God's Holy Spirit to the Lord's people. And that's a good thing for the Lord's people, to feel God's presence with them and for them through the presence of the Holy Spirit. However, if we listen even more closely to those very same Bible lessons, we can hear the bad news that if the Lord's people do not feel God's presence, which was true just before, you remember, before God made his presence a gift to them, or if the people have not been given God's Holy Spirit, then the Lord's people find themselves in something of a no man's land. They're anxious, they're afraid, they're uncertain about their future. To feel that God is somehow not with us and for us, that's a bad thing. For us human beings, even to feel that we are being deprived of the presence of another human being who will love us, who will care for us, who will be with us in times of trouble, we know that's a bad thing from personal experience. One of my seminary professors, Dr. Bill Oglesby, once told a sad story of a trip that he made to the Eastern European nations of the 1950s. I cannot remember what the purpose of Dr. Oglesby's trip was, but part of his travels was devoted to a tour of the orphanages in that part of the world. And what he described was terribly sad. For he described seeing institution after institution that was so strapped for proper funding and so miserably understaffed that most, if not all, of the infants and small children would go day after day with the most minimum of contact with a caring, loving adult. The care that they were given was very custodial only, food, shelter, clothing, that sort of thing. But their needs for nurture, for play, for love and cuddling, they were not met in any meaningful way at all. And it was not that the staff was mean, there simply were not enough caregivers to give care adequately to each child. In time, said Dr. Oglesby, many of these children seemed to waste away, if not become physically ill or even die, in spite of the fact that they were fed, they were clothed, they were sheltered. Oglesby wondered aloud if what he had observed were the terrible consequences of human lives lived without the love and presence of another caring, loving, nurturing human being. Our scripture readings for the day come from two very different periods in the lives of the Lord's people, when many, if not all, among the Lord's people questioned whether or not God was present with them, whether or not God was loving them and caring for them and nurturing them in any sort of meaningful way. Now, if it is true, as the opening illustration implies, that to deprive small children of a caring, nurturing, loving human presence in their lives can cause those small children great harm developmentally, then how much more true is it if a human life, whether young or old, feels denied the caring, nurturing, loving presence of God? What sort of damaging consequences might stem from that form of poverty, that spiritual poverty? The story we read from Numbers 11 gives us some insight into the struggles of the Lord's people. They were on their 40-year march or wanderings through the wilderness of the Sinai Desert. They'd left behind the slavery they had known in Egypt. They were marching, walking toward their hoped-for freedom in the promised land. But along the way, they had many trials and many troubles. Very often, they were deprived of fresh water. Very often, they were deprived of the food they needed. They did not feel safe. And so by the time of today's lesson, the people were upset. They were grumbling and whining and complaining against Moses. And Moses said, "You're not complaining only against me, you're complaining against God as well." Now, from my reading of the Bible, story about those wilderness wanderings of the Lord's people, it was not that God was any less present with them in one circumstance as opposed to another. But there did seem to be time after time when the Lord's people felt as if God had removed his presence from them. And in those times, Israel's murmurings against God and against Moses increased dramatically. Now, the context for our New Testament reading in Acts chapter 2 has some similarity. It was that period in between our Lord's crucifixion and the day of Pentecost, which we're celebrating today, that interim time when Jesus did appear to the disciples but wasn't with them every moment of every day. It seemed that during that time, that interim time, the fledgling church was struggling, filled with anxiety, hiding for fear of the religious leaders. And in today's New Testament lesson, that's what the writer of the Gospel according to John reports to us, that the Lord's people were frightened and afraid, secreted away in their special little room for fear of the religious authorities. And even though Jesus had made a first appearance to them, still they seemed to be struggling. Later on in the Gospel according to John, John tells us that Peter, who was the bold and impetuous one, said at one point, "I'm going fishing." Meaning that without Jesus' active presence and leadership in his life, he did not know what else to do but to return to the life, the old way of life, and his old way of earning a living with which he was familiar. Peter was going fishing. Without the presence of God in Jesus Christ, that little band of followers were adrift, without confidence, without voice. I would submit that there are times of spiritual loneliness, spiritual distance in our lives, in yours and in mine. Times when we too can
feel as if God has taken God's presence away from us and God is not with us in any meaningful way. And again, it's not that God has in fact abandoned us. We simply feel that way for one reason or another. Perhaps our moment of spiritual loneliness, spiritual distance from God, came when we lost a loved one. Someone we loved has died. Or when the health or life of a loved one or ourselves is in serious jeopardy. Perhaps that dire feeling of abandonment by God is especially keen to us when we were sitting in the sterile whiteness of our doctor's examination room and our good physician had to share with us the news that no one ever wants to hear, but the news that we shall all surely hear someday, one way or another. Perhaps this novel coronavirus pandemic with its social distancing, its staying safe at home lockdown spirit that we are in, its mask wearing for everyone's benefit, as good as those practices may be, perhaps they've set the stage within us to feel not only distance from one another, but also distance from all of our hopes and dreams, perhaps even distanced from God. Or perhaps a spiritual numbness has settled upon us, not so much because of some external danger that threatens us, but because of some internal preoccupation that threatens to take the place of God in our life. And I'm not necessarily talking about bad things. We are just so busy fulfilling our responsibilities at work. We're so busy fulfilling our responsibilities with our family and home life that we haven't taken the time to love God back very much. And I know it can happen. It has certainly happened to me at one point or another in my life. What are we to do, you and I, on those occasions when we do not feel, when we do not sense or appropriate or apprehend the presence of God in our lives? To do nothing is to remain in the big empty room by ourselves, lost in the void. And if we choose to do nothing, then we're willingly remaining adrift in our spiritually impoverished state of being. And that's not a good thing. Spiritual illness, maybe even death, might spring from our sense of being deprived from God's presence. Even though I'm convinced that God is always with us, I know there are bleak times in our lives when we've lost sight of that fact. The fact is, we need God. The fact is, we need one another. One of my favorite rock and roll artists of the late 1990s was Bruce Springsteen, and he talked about the human touch. And he would search the streets of his town, but he could not find the human touch, but he kept searching because he must find it. He could not live without the human touch. In a similar way, we must find the touch of the divine, God's presence in our lives, else we too will wither and waste away and perhaps experience some form of spiritual death. But there is good news for us this morning. The good news that is told in our scripture lessons for the day, that God also longs for us and is searching for us. One of my Old Testament professors long ago, Dr. Elizabeth Ockmeyer, put it this way, God is not lost. She would give that answer to those people who would ask her, have you found God? And she would respond, well, God is not lost. I am lost. We human beings, we are the one who is lost. And the good news for us is that God is searching for us to find us who are lost, as in the Lord's parable about the lost sheep, the good shepherd goes in search of that one lost sheep. God is always searching for us, seeking to find a way to restore to our awareness that God is always present with us and present for us in Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Lord. This was true in the day of Moses, when Moses was berated by the people and he was worn down by their constant murmurings and accusations. Moses was wearing thin. At one point he was so low that he asked God simply to take him out of this world so that he would no longer have to listen to the murmurings and the grumblings and the false accusations of the Lord's people. God heard Moses' plea, and God was with Moses. But God did not give Moses what he asked for. He didn't take Moses out of the world. God, rather, stayed with Moses in the world and told Moses, you need to get some help. Find for yourselves 70 elders who will stand with you and help you hear the complaints of the people and deal with them. And in that very human way, Moses was reminded that God was always with him and for him had never abandoned him. And so Moses endured. God's presence was with and for the Lord's people in the day of our New Testament lesson when they were secreted away in that room and they felt that God had forgotten all about them. Jesus came to them and gave to them God's Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came to the church in such a powerful way that they came out of hiding and they went into the dusty highways and byways of Jerusalem and Syria and the surrounding nations and all the world, proclaiming to the world the good news of God's love for the world in Jesus Christ. God's presence is with us and for us, even today and for all time. The Spirit of God rests upon God's church, not simply for the sake of the church, but for the sake of the world. God chooses the Lord's people not for privilege, but for service, to send us out into the world to convey to the world God's love. This is the church's calling. This is our calling as members of our Lord's church, to be the means of God's gracious presence to the world and to one another, especially during this strange time of social distancing and self-quarantining and mask wearing that the novel coronavirus has foisted upon us. At all times, and especially now, during this time of the pandemic and lost jobs and financial drought and oppressive uncertainty, and even this day in a time of terrible injustice and the angry outcry of the victims and senseless, reckless violence, we may think that God has forgotten us. But God has not forgotten us. God is not lost. We are the ones who are lost. And the good news is God continues daily, minute by minute, to search for us, to find us through God's Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ, to remind us that God is always with us and for us, for our salvation and the redemption of this broken world in which we live. Amen.